Well, thank you all for coming. As you'll have seen, the board decided to hold its policy rate steady again at this meeting. A few points I'd like to make up front before I move to questions. First of all, we're making progress in our fight against inflation, but it does remain high. As we've discussed before, in fact at this previous press conference, it really is the big challenge in front of us. It confronts borrowers, renters, savers, retirees. It hurts everyone, inflation. And that's why it's so important that we get inflation back into target band of 2 to 3%. So recent data suggests we're on the right track, but the interest rate path that best ensures we bring inflation back to target does remain uncertain. And we're keeping a keen eye also on employment numbers because, as I've said before, we want to hold on to as many gains in the labour market as we can. What we need is greater confidence that inflation will return to the target band in a reasonable timeframe and will stay there. So domestic data over recent weeks have been largely as expected. The board believes the risks to the outlook are finally balanced and that it's too soon to rule anything in or out. The data showed a slowing in GDP growth in the December quarter, slightly higher unemployment rate, slightly higher wages growth, and a further moderation in inflation. We understand that households are still bearing the brunt of this inflation challenge. We see that in the weak consumption data, and we know that there is a big cost of living squeeze on households. Unemployment's also ticked up a bit. Employment's continuing to grow, but these are firmly on the board's radar, and that's why we're being cautious. Wages growth picked up a little further, and it's expected to moderate, but it may take some time. There's been little new information on services inflation, which is where the recent pressures have been. This strength has been because demand continues to exceed supply in the economy. So although there's signs this gap is closing and we're moving towards a better balance in the economy, things remain uncertain. And the other thing I would add here is that we've seen overseas that it can be a bumpy ride on inflation. So today, as I said, the board decided to hold rates at current levels. To the future, we still have to get inflation down, and the risks to achieving that remain finely balanced. The war isn't yet won. So we continue to be vigilant, and we can't rule anything in or out. And with that, I'm happy to take your questions. Thank you.
Hi, Governor Edward Boyd at Sky News. There's a subtle change of language in the statement today. The phrase, a further increase in interest rates cannot be ruled out, has been replaced by the phrase, the board is not ruling anything in or out. Has your hiking bias been removed? Are you taking rate rises off the table for now?
So, as the statement said, we're neither ruling it in or out. We have changed the language, that's true, but that was in response to some data which has demonstrated to us that we are still broadly on the path we thought we were on. So we're not confident enough to say we can rule out further interest rate changes, but we do think that we are on the path to get ourselves back to inflation in target within our forecast period.
Governor Michael Yander from ABC News. The RBA's latest forecasts have unemployment reaching 4.2% by June and 4.3% by the end of this year. It already hit 4.1% seasonally adjusted in January. What level does the unemployment rate need to reach to concern the Reserve Bank, and have you considering interest rate cuts?
So the unemployment rate does bounce around a little bit from month to month, and as you know, it's not the only thing we look at here. We look at a range of employment indicators, including things like hours worked and including, importantly, the underutilisation rate. Now, these things are all ticking up as well. Our judgment at the moment is that the labour market still is slightly on the tight side, and that's on the basis that the unemployment rate is still much lower than it was pre-pandemic. It's risen from its trough, but it was far too tight then. We hear from business liaison that businesses are finding a little bit easier to get workers, but there's still some tightness there, and vacancies and advertisements are still slightly elevated as well. So there are signs that the employment market as a whole, rather than just focusing on the unemployment rate, is coming back more into balance, but it's maybe not quite there yet. I don't want to put a figure on the unemployment rate that we would like to see. I think the unemployment rate is something that is mechanically going to rise as the economy slows. So if you'll also see our forecast, you'll see employment continues to grow, but it just doesn't grow quite as fast as the supply of labour. So that's mechanically why the unemployment rate rises. I think that we're focusing on that, and if we can achieve that with a slight rise in the unemployment rate while continuing to keep employment growing, I think we'll have achieved our goals.
Bonjour Michel, Cécile from the Financial Review. So joining a little bit on Ed's question, the analyst said that the board has pivoted to a neutral bias. Do you agree?
Pivot. Pivot, that word used to get used a lot in the pandemic. I haven't heard it so much recently. I think what the board is doing is, as it said, and it's responding to data as the data come out. What the board is saying is that there are risks on both sides of this, and the risks are finely balanced. On the one hand, on the upside, we still have inflation above target, and we know from overseas that it's a bumpy ride, and we also know that services inflation is still elevated, and that's proving difficult to get down. On the other hand, we're conscious that consumption is slowing a lot, that the unemployment rate, there are signs that, as I said earlier, that some of the tightness in the labour market is easing, so you've got that on the downside. What the board is basically saying is that we're uncertain, we don't know, we can't rule in or out either.
Governor, Tom Tucevic from The Australian. Last week we saw the Fair Work Commission grant a fairly hefty wage rise to aged care workers. Later in the year we'll see its decision in the minimum wage order. Given that that's such a key component of services inflation, what are your forecasts factoring in for the wage rises that you're expecting later in the year?
So our forecasts factor in wage rises that have been granted, not ones that are in prospect. So the aged care piece, for example, would not be in our forecasts at the moment. But let me say right up front that I don't think anyone would begrudge aged care workers a rise. They've been historically underpaid for the work they do. It's a very important job. And there's shortages in those industries. So I think it's a very worthy pay rise. I don't think personally, and I don't think when we do put it into our forecast, I don't think it's going to make a measurable difference really to what we're forecasting. We might want to watch to see if there are some spillovers, but I'm not expecting that it's going to have a great impact.
Peter Hammond from The Guardian. Just to clarify, if you could, Governor, was a possible rate cut at all considered in this board meeting? You did mention that you're looking for greater confidence to inflation's coming down. Specifically, what would it take, if you like, to get a rate cut as part of your consideration if you didn't do it today?
What we need to consider a rate cut is really to be much more confident that inflation is coming back into the band in the future. And as you know, the forecasts, the central forecasts, have it not coming back into the band until 2025. So if we were to see some acceleration and get some more confidence that that is we are overachieving there, then possible rate cuts might be something on the agenda. But at the moment, we're not seeing that. We're in a position where we're cautious. We want to wait and see, as I said, risks on both sides, and we need to be conscious of that.
Deb Knight from Nine Radio. With the announcement today from the energy regulator that power bills are set to fall for the first time in 2 years by as much as 10% in the Eastern Seaboard, is that going to help the case for cutting interest rates later this year to help to bring inflation down, or could it have the opposite effect? Could we see people with more money to spend potentially undermining your efforts to get on top of inflation?
I think ultimately it will assist. One of the things that we've observed in the lead up to with inflation rising quite sharply has been a large part of that has been things like energy. And that only not only impacts consumers, it also impacts all the businesses that rely on energy. And that means that puts pressure on their cost bases and they're potentially for also on the prices that they charge. So I think an easing in energy prices, even if it's just a stabilisation, it's not increasing anymore, I think that's really positive for the inflation outlook. And so I think that's good news.
Chris Risen from Channel 7. In July, we're obviously going to see a lot more money flow into the economy via the tax cuts from the federal government, and also potentially from the May budget, we're going to see a lot more handouts, etc., come through to the community as well. How much does government policy actually prevent the RBA from being able to initiate a cut to rate hikes?
Sure. So firstly, on the Stage 3 tax cuts, they're actually factored into our forecast. So that's something that's already in there. We've already taken account of it in our settings on monetary policy. It's true that monetary and fiscal policy need to work together in some sense, so you don't want them working at cross purposes. I would argue at the moment they are not working at cross purposes. I think the Treasurer has said very clearly and publicly, and he certainly said to me, that he's very conscious that they have to be careful that they don't add to inflationary pressures. As we've talked about before, I think in this forum 6 weeks ago, I mean, ultimately what's hurting people at the moment is inflation. And one response is to say, well, let's give people more money. But if it doesn't address the inflation problem, then it doesn't address the underlying issue for people. So I think basically at the moment that monetary policy and fiscal policy are pushing in the same direction. The only other thing I would add there is that, you know, governments have a difficult job. They've got lots and lots of competing demands on their purse and their policies. So, you know, I don't envy them their job.
Hi, Governor. Millie Moreau from the Sydney Morning Herald. We've had four quarters of slowing GDP growth. So if GDP does turn negative, would the RBA have to consider a rate cut?
So I guess the way I'd put it, Millie, is that what we've been trying to do, we've had a situation where aggregate demand has been above aggregate supply. So the demand for goods and services in the economy has been above the ability of the economy to provide it. And the big signal there has been services inflation has been one part of that. So with demand slowing, it's slowing and it's bringing demand back more into line with where the economy can supply the goods and services. So ultimately that will be positive for inflation, and when it is, then there are opportunities to consider whether or not policy can be slightly less restrictive.
Governor David Taylor, ABC, are you worried about the Australian economy?
I'm worried about inflation. I am watching very closely what's happening with growth in the economy. As I said earlier, though, I think it's really important here to distinguish between levels and growth rates. As we came out of the pandemic, demand just exploded and it was well above the ability of the economy to supply the goods and services. So the slowing is something that needed to happen so we could bring those two things back into. If our forecasts come true, and I really hope we're on that narrow path that Phil used to talk about, then we can slow the economy enough that it preserves a lot of the gains in employment and brings inflation down. And once we bring inflation down, then you'll see in our forecast period what's happening then is that real incomes start to grow again, consumption starts to improve again. So if we can pull that off, then I think that will be great.
You're still firmly on the narrow path.
I still firmly believe that we are on the narrow path, and that's what the board is focusing on, that there are risks on each side. That's why the board is being cautious on rates at the moment.
Governor John Rolfe from the Daily Telegraph. In retrospect, was the November rate increase unnecessary?
No, I don't believe it was, John, and I think it's a bit bit sort of dangerous to think about increments of 0.25 as being, when really what it is there's a cumulative effect of interest rate increases, and I think we've got to think about it in those terms. Having said that, it's also true that our forecasts are predicated on an interest rate which is where it is now, and that's where the board thinks at the moment interest rates are best, as I said, with a caution to both risks on both sides. And so under those circumstances, we think at the moment we've got the right level.
Hi, Governor. Stella Cho from Reuters. We just have a simple question. Did you consider the case of a rate hike at today's meeting?
There's never a simple question, is there? The board basically considered what was best for this circumstance, and obviously the board considers a range of possibilities, and the possibility of a rate rise is something that the board might consider in terms of, well, are we at the right spot? I think where the board came down today was that, as I said, where we are now is where we need to be. But the board always considers different alternatives.
Michelle Swati Pandey from Bloomberg News. You mentioned how demand is still exceeding supply in the economy, and there was a previous question about GDP per capita recession. How much of the exceeding demand that we are seeing in the economy is due to that population growth, which is actually masking the real weakness in the economy? And is it something that the board also discussed in today's meeting where on the face of it, it looks like the economy is doing all right. There's a little bit of resilience, but if you take population growth out, people are going backwards.
The board is really conscious that particularly per capita consumption is declining. We understand that. And it's declining because of inflation and interest rates. And to some extent, there's taxes part of it as well. Real disposable incomes are declining, and that is really hurting the household sector. So the board's aware of that. The board isn't blind to that at all. So, as I said, if we can get inflation down, that'll go a long way to reversing these declines in real disposable income. That's what's really hurting people's incomes, and that's why they're having to cut back on discretionary items. Even to some extent, some people are having to steal back on essentials. So the board is very alert to it.
Governor, Jonathan Shapiro from the Financial Review. We know that market pricing has changed and maybe come more in line with what central banks are thinking in terms of maybe less rate cuts there than central banks are thinking. But overall, financial markets are quite buoyant. Equity markets are at highs. Speculative assets are running strong. Credit spreads are probably nearer at all-time tights. I wonder if yourself and other central banks are looking at this and wondering if it's some sort of a signal that financial conditions might be too loose. And also, if you had any perspective on Japan today ending their negative interest rate policy and what that might mean. Thank you.
So I'll just answer the first one. We've actually got a financial stability review coming out on Friday, which is going to talk a little bit about this. It's true that financial conditions, particularly to do with businesses and some of the higher risk areas, are actually easing a bit, notwithstanding central bank communications. So there is a bit of that going on. I think the focus really internationally is what that might mean for financial stability and whether there are vulnerabilities. So I commend to you Friday's publication, which will talk a little bit about those issues.
Thanks, Governor. Luca Edimani from The Guardian. So today's decision assumed that labour productivity is going to return to the long-run average, which is not quite what it's been doing for the last couple of years. Is the board still expecting that productivity will return to the long-run average? And if it doesn't, will rate cuts be deferred accordingly?
So we've talked a bit about productivity at the last press conference, and I also talked about it at the Parliamentary Committee. So what I'd say is don't get too caught up in the individual quarterly movements in productivity. It is a long-run concept. Having said that, it's encouraging that at least that we have started to see the last couple of quarters productivity has picked up. Productivity ultimately is something that is going to be based on businesses investing. We need it to grow the pie so that we all have more income that we can share around amongst us all. So it's really important. The government has an important role to play here in terms of its work. The Productivity Commission has no shortage of suggestions on things like technology and education and so on that could be. What can the bank do? I guess I wouldn't say we can directly affect productivity, but what I would say is that having low stable inflation, which businesses don't have to worry about and it's in the background, is much more conducive to investment and focusing on how they can improve their businesses than at the moment when I'd say what they're doing is they're worrying about costs and they're worrying about how I get costs out of my business. So for me, the most important thing we can do to encourage productive investment is to get inflation back down and let businesses get back into the business of deciding how to run their businesses best.
Hello, I am Lurika from Nikkei, Japanese media. Coincidentally, today, Bank of Japan decided to raise interest rate for the first time in 70 years,
yes.
And ending a negative interest rate, finally. I'm curious about what's your take as a fellow governor of bank, central bank?
Well, I can't possibly read the mind of what went in the Bank of Japan on the Bank of Japan. It's true that they have had the opposite problem to the rest of us. They've been trying to get inflation up and we've all been trying to get it down. My reading is that they have been obviously been encouraged enough by recent signs that inflation and wages are heading in the right direction. That allows them to come out of negative interest rates. But I'd still highlight they're still at zero.
Hi, Governor. Jasmine Goh from Capital Brief. Just wondering what you think the effect on property values might be when interest rates are cut and whether high housing prices and higher household debt makes it more challenging when we go through a rapid rate rising cycle.
So I wouldn't like to predict housing prices, frankly. Every time we try to do that, we seem to get it wrong. We were surprised when they started rising again, quite frankly, and I think everyone was. The bottom line with housing prices, though, is that it's really about supply and demand, and this goes for housing in generally, whether it's rental accommodation or purchasing. It really comes down to supply and demand. And we know that governments are very focused on housing at the moment because, at the moment, we are suffering from a situation where demand for housing is higher than the supply of housing. There's some sense in which, and again, I commend the Financial Stability Review to you on Friday, that I'll talk a little bit about bank lending standards and borrowing limits and so on. It's true that as interest rates rise, borrowing ability of households declines, so because your repayments go up, so you can borrow less. So it's true that effect is there. But ultimately, the bigger force in housing, I think, comes down to supply and demand, and that's something that obviously governments can deal with in terms of development policies, in terms of land, well-located land, infrastructure to ensure that land has got good facilities around it and is well-located. So, you know, these are the issues that really I think are more important for housing prices.
Thanks for taking our questions. Poppy Johnston from AAP. Analysts are suggesting that you'll want to wait until the Stage 3 tax cuts and the federal budget, anything in there, work through before feeling fully comfortable with the inflation outlook and contemplating cuts. Is the plan to wait and see how these policies play out? And if so, how long would be reasonable to sit and watch what happens?
So I won't be giving forward guidance. That's the first point. I think, to your point, some of those things that are going to happen, they're in our forecasts. But as I've said a number of times, our forecasts are inherently uncertain. So as we get more data and more information, if it confirms our forecasts, then that will be good for us and we'll be able to say, OK, we're on the right path. But if some of those things come to pass and it doesn't look like the data is moving our direction, then we have to consider how to move. So, yes, it's sort of almost a truism that as time moves on and more data become available and more things come to pass that we've got in our forecasts, then we'll be more certain about whether or not we're on the right trajectory. And those things are in our forecasts at the moment. So if we continue and we continue on that trajectory, then that's positive.
Governor Juliette Sahli from AusBiz TV. In your statement, you mentioned the economic concerns as well about overseas, particularly China's economy. How much are you concerned about the implications of China, Australia's biggest trading partner, especially considering iron ore prices have fallen significantly since you last met?
Well, it's something we look at a lot because it's really important for the national income of the country, obviously. They're our biggest trading partner. Iron ore is our biggest export to them, and the price of that obviously impacts the income of the resource sector, and that's important for the national income of the country. China is facing significant headwinds. They have set themselves a growth target next year of 5%, which is the same as actually around 5%, which is the same as they set last year. It's lower than it's been in the past, but it's still, you know, reasonably solid growth. The question is, I guess, whether or not they can meet that target, what sort of policies they're going to put in place to meet that target. But there are headwinds. One headwind, obviously, is the real estate sector, which traditionally has been a massive part of their economy. Can they, dare I use the word pivot, can they pivot to move more towards sort of consumption? But consumption's very soggy there at the moment as well. So, you know, it is a concern. It's something we're watching very closely, but it is going to play into how the Australian economy evolves over the next little while. And if it turns out to be significantly weaker, then that's something we're going to have to figure out how that plays into our forecasts.
Governor, Michael Stutchbury, Financial Review. Just on your reluctance to give forward guidance there, would it be right to say, and you're talking about the risks are finely balanced, not ruling anything in and out, would it be fair to characterise this that if the forecast narrow path, we stay on the forecast narrow path for economy and inflation, and then the next move of interest rates, Reserve Bank's move is likely to be a cut, and that's probably the base case scenario, because otherwise your forecasts, you wouldn't have forecasts, that must be the most likely outcome. But if the bumpiness you talk about keeps inflation elevated, then you might have to increase the cash rate again, and that's probably a lesser likelihood, but if things don't go to plan, that's what the outcome would be.
Yeah. The message I really want to get across is that, again, we're not ruling anything in and we're not ruling anything out. You'll get sick of me saying that. And the reason being, you've actually articulated it, Michael. The fact is that there are some downside risks, but there are also some upside risks. And we're very conscious that we don't want, we would love to get on the narrow path, but as we've said in the past, that does mean that inflation will have been outside of target for over 4 years. And if there look to be risks that's going to be extended, then I think we do need to be concerned about that. On the other hand, if a number of things conspire and we end up actually moving more quickly than the forecasts, then we might need to think about interest rate cuts. But at the moment, we're in the position where I don't want to say either way. It's basically not ruling it in, not ruling it out.
Thank you, Governor. Hans Lee of Livewire Markets, thank you for taking our question. So, given the RBA has described household consumption and dwelling investment as weak, I'm curious, what is still holding inflation up above that 2 to 3% target, and how does that affect where the bank thinks or sees neutral interest rates being at?
So, it comes back to the point I made earlier that growth is weak, but the level is still high, and it comes back a little bit to the point I think Swati made that aggregate demand, because of population growth, has been elevated. So what we're observing now is that aggregate demand is slowing and it's coming back more into line with supply, and that's what we'd expect with restrictive monetary policy. We think monetary policy is slightly restrictive, And to your point, that means sort of by economic definitions, if you like, it's above a neutral rate. But we think the signs are that it's in slightly restricted territory. And then as we hopefully observe inflation come down, that's when we start to have conversations about what is restrictive and how do we remove the restrictiveness.
Thank you, Governor. Michael Heath from Bloomberg News. I'm just wondering, you have more than one element to your mandate, the other one being employment, and I guess growth goes into that. If we were to see quite a good inflation print at the end of April, at what point does worries about rising unemployment, very weak growth, start to take over from inflation? You know, the Treasurer is sort of already talking about this with his budget coming up as well.
Look, it's hard, and I can't give you a definite answer on that. What I can say is that we are, it is part of our mandate. We do want to have employment at a sustainable level, and that means a level that's neither increasing inflationary pressures or decreasing inflationary pressures. So do we know what that level is? No, we don't. We think it might be around sort of between 4 and 4.5, but we don't know where it is. So all we can do is tread carefully. And back to the point I made earlier, be prepared to act if we see the risks moving in one direction or the other. So if we see the risks, as I said, I think in response to Michael's question, we've got a baseline sort of scenario, which is our forecasts, and that sees inflation back in band by the end of 25 and to the middle of the band by 2026. That's still a way off, and it's quite uncertain. So what we have to do is be cautious. We have to be prepared to watch the data. We have to be prepared to consider things like our business liaison and survey measures that we're getting as well. What's telling us where things are heading, and is that changing our assessment of the risks? And that's what's going to drive potential changes.
Oh, hi, Governor. Thanks so much for taking the question. I just want to change back a little bit to the RBA view and the recommendation. You talked before about having received reassurance from the Treasurer that there would be continuity on the new monetary policy board, presuming the legislation goes through. Can you give us a little bit more color on what you mean by continuity?
Thanks, Patrick. Look, I guess my purpose of this press conference is really to focus on monetary policy and the monetary policy decision we announced today. The only point I would make, very briefly, is that continuity for me means that continuity with respect to both boards. I have no particular firm views on numbers, but that's what it means to me.
Thank you. Your next question comes from John Keogh from the John Financial Review. Please go ahead. Hi, John Keogh from the Financial Review here. Michelle, just wondering, markets have 1 to 2 rate cuts priced in by the end of the year. Do you think that's a reasonable assumption or bear for that?
Thanks, John. I'm not going to opine on whether or not markets have got it right. I know you will all have noticed that in our forecasts, one of our assumptions is the market path for interest rates. So our central forecasts are conditioned on a market path which sees some interest rate decreases later in the year. I wouldn't like to opine on whether or not the markets have got it right, but I only would observe that the markets move around a lot. And we've seen that overseas as well. They jump in relation to various bits of news. They jump in relation to various bits of commentary. I suspect they'll be jumping as I'm speaking today. So I wouldn't like to, as I say, suggest that they're accurate in any way, but just observe that market path is, in fact, in our forecasts.
Your next question comes from Adrian Lowe from the Western Australian.
inflation expectations as we do tread this sort of difficult path ahead?
A number of things, I suppose. I mean, it's a bit difficult to measure inflation expectations, Adrian, but we look at a number of things. We look at market-based measures, and the market-based measures are, if you like, these are the people that are putting their money where their mouth is, they're betting on it. The expectations there are that inflation is anchored around about 2.5%. So that's... We have other measures of inflation expectations, which more directly come from sort of consumers and unions, and also wage demands are to some extent a little bit of a gauge of what people are expecting inflation to do. So all of those things suggest to us that, as expected, when inflation shot up quite a lot in 2023, that short-term inflation expectations also increased quite a lot. But we are observing that these are coming down, so people understood that it was a temporary thing. It's important, though, that they don't come down and stick at around 3-3.5%. So we want to see them continue to come down to around about 2-3%, 2.5%. That would be ideal. And what we're observing so far is that there doesn't seem to be any indication that they are de-anchoring at a higher level, but we need to keep a very close eye on it.
Thank you. We have time for one final question. This comes from Jack Quayle from NCA Newswire. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much, Governor, for taking questions. We've seen in some recent data flows, particularly around retail sales and also labour force data, that's kind of been thrown off because of issues with seasonal adjustment. I'm wondering if there's anything that you're learning from the business liaison unit or other surveys, I guess, that it's not reflected in the data that you're receiving?
Only that it's sort of reinforcing what we're seeing, that things are slowing. As I said earlier, businesses... So one of the things we used to hear from businesses quite a lot when things were quite tight was that they couldn't find labour, they couldn't find people to work. So we're seeing that ease off a bit. We're also hearing from businesses that demand is easing in some discretionary sectors. We're hearing that as well. So that's all consistent with what we're seeing in the data, I think. We're not seeing any red flags that tell us that we're being led astray by that. So I think that's all consistent, but it is important to keep our business liaison program is a very important part of our focus. It's important for us to get a bit of a flavour for what's going on in the real world, and I think we'll continue to take notice of that. And I'd say that so far, it's a long history now, it's about 21 years, and the business liaison program and the way it's been set up, it has generally historically given us a pretty good steer as to what's going on in the economy. So I think at the moment it's reinforcing what we're seeing in the hard data. Great. Well, thank you all again for coming. Have a good afternoon. Thank you.